We'll begin with a prayer. Holy Spirit, we ask that you be with us now and guide us as we meditate upon another comforting and precious section of the Word which you have given us for the salvation of our souls. I pray that you reveal the treasures which are hidden in this section to us. Give us hearts that are able to receive it and strengthen our faith in our Savior as we grow in grace and knowledge of Him. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Luke chapter 4, verses 33 through 37, an unclean spirit. In the pages of Scripture, comfort comes to us sometimes where we would least expect it. And very often, as children of God, we get a great deal of comfort from the enemy camp. And here is a case in point. And in the synagogue, there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil. And he cried out with a loud voice. This is the first miracle which Luke, the physician, records, and it's the deliverance of a man from a demoniac. Scriptures distinguish clearly between ordinary diseases and the peculiar affliction of demon possession. Jesus addressed the demons, and these spoke to him, and often did that in statements which a human sufferer himself could not have made. And when we look at the suffering that's going on in the world, we have to be careful how we look at it. For example, we're looking at Luke chapter 13, which God willing in the future we will get to, but for now, just a reference. Luke 13, beginning at verse 1, there were present at that season some that told Jesus of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. These were people that were in church sacrificing, and Pilate ambushed them and killed them with a sword and mingled their blood with the blood of the animals they were sacrificing. And the disciples told Jesus about that. And Jesus answering said unto them, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things? And naturally, that very well may be what the disciples were thinking. And a lot of people would think that. These people must have been especially wicked, and that's why God hit them with what he did. But Jesus said, I tell you, nay. They weren't worse than others. But except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Or those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell. These guys were workers on a tower, and all of a sudden something went wrong, the tower fell, and slew them, 18 of them. And Jesus said, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. But except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. So when we see people suffering, what we should do is not judge them, but we should repent, lest the same thing happen to us. John chapter 9. I'm beginning at verse 1, John 9. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. Now the disciples have a question. His disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? They figured it had to be one of the two. And Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents. He didn't mean the guy never sinned. He didn't mean the parents never sinned. What he's meaning is that this blindness didn't come because of some sin that the man committed or the parents, but that the work of God should be made manifest in him. So we've got to watch and we don't misjudge. But there are other things involved here also. And one of the truths is that a person reaps what they sow. And that can be true, physically speaking, in this life of a child of God. And it certainly is true of children of the devil. And when we come to children of the devil, there's another truth here that we should be aware of. And the truth is that even though for a child of the devil, the greatest punishment and suffering is going to come at the end, it's still also true that some of it comes during their lifetime here on this earth. Demon possession seemed to especially show itself during the 3 years of Jesus' ministry. It was almost like the devil was firing these demon-possessed people at him to take him down. And so we've got an example here of a man that was possessed with a devil. And I'm going to read to you from a book that I've got. It's very instructive. It's by a man called Trench, and it's entitled The Miracles of Our Lord. And he's not talking about this particular miracle, but he's bringing out another point that we don't think enough about. And concerning the miracle he's talking about, he says this, and this is a quote, What the past sin of this sufferer has been, we do not know, but the sufferer himself knew very well. His conscience interpreted the warning. This much, however, is plain to us, that Christ connected the man's suffering with his own particular sin. Now, this isn't always true, but it is sometimes, probably a lot more than what we would realize. For however he rebuked elsewhere men's uncharitable way of tracing such a connection, and we just looked at a couple, yet he never meant thereby to deny that if it is true that much of the judgment of the heathen people is deferred until the final judgment day, it is also true that much of it is even now proceeding in this life. However unwilling we may be to receive this truth, bringing as it does God so close, and making retribution so real and so prompt a thing, yet it is true notwithstanding. Now here's an example he gives which is touching. You won't forget it. As some eagle pierced with a shaft feathered from its own wing. The eagle lost a feather for some reason or other. A hunter found it, made it into an arrow, put it on the arrow, and shot. And so the eagle was pierced with a feather from its own wing. So many a sufferer, even in this present time, sees and is compelled to acknowledge that his own sin fledged the arrow which has now pierced him and brought him down. So this is very, very true. And it points out another truth that Scripture gives us in Psalm 7, verse 11. And we've got both sides of the coin here. Psalm 7, verse 11. God judgeth the righteous. That's the first half of the verse. And that is true. Judgment begins at the house of God. But the judgment that God gives against his people, let's not use the word against. The judgment that God in love gives his people is never just law. It's gospel. It's a blessing. It's not righteous judgment. God doesn't punish his own people. He punished Jesus Christ on the cross instead of us. So he's not going to punish us. God never punishes his people. He chastises us for our good, but love is always the motive. But that's only the first part of the verse. The whole verse reads this way: God judgeth the righteous, but... Well, the word in the King James, it's and, but the word and, as I've mentioned before, also can be translated but. And then it's a contrast. So let's translate it that way. God judges the righteous, but God is angry with the wicked every day. Think of what a terrible thing this is for the children of the devil. When we sleep at night, we're guarded by our guardian angels. And God is in control of all of it. And when we begin the day and start walking through the day, our steps are guided by the Lord. There are no accidents in the life of a child of God. It's all under control. It's all working for our good. What a comfort that is. For the children of the devil, it's just exactly the opposite. Every day when they get up and start taking a step through the world, God is angry with them. God is angry with the wicked every single day. It's terrible. And it's the worst is yet to come for them when they enter down to hell. But it's the judgment starts already in this life. So as Jesus is in the synagogue, all of a sudden, there comes a man that had a spirit of an unclean devil, and he cried out with a loud voice. So imagine how the congregation felt. Something strange is happening here. This has never happened before. Where did this guy come from? He's not one of us. He came walking in, and now he's disrupting the whole service. And what did he say? This is interesting. Comfort from the enemy camp. This is a word of a demoniac, a devil. Let us alone. He's talking to Jesus. Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. It's odd that the devil would drive this demoniac to Jesus. I would have thought that he would have kept him as far away from the Son of God as he possibly could, knowing that Christ had the power to cast the devil out. But the ways of the enemies are strange. They don't think right. So he attacks Jesus face to face, right in front of the whole congregation. And notice the words, the pronouns there. Starts out, let us alone. This is one guy talking. But it's not the man talking, it's the devil in him, the demon in him. And let us alone, what have we to do with thee? So he's talking now on behalf of all of his companions. There are many, many, many wicked spirits. Their number is legion. And he's talking, first of all, on behalf of all of them, saying, let us alone, what have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? So he knew where Jesus came from. the saying was, can any good come out of Nazareth? Well, there wasn't much that came out of it, but the one that was perfect did. He lived most of his life in Nazareth. And so the sense here is get out of here and leave us alone. And not only that, but then he changes, art thou come to destroy us? We're still talking about the us. So he knows that Jesus Christ is going to destroy the whole schmear. In another place, the demons say, art thou come to destroy us before the time? So they know that there's a time set. And when that time comes, and that time is going to come when the Heavenly Father sends his Son back to the world for the second time. Not like he came the first time in humility to suffer and die. Now, the next time he comes, he's going to come in power and might and glory as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he's going to crush the head of the serpent. And the devil knows this. And all the soldiers of the devil, the demon, they know this. They know that they're losers. And they know that there's a set time when Jesus Christ is going to come and throw them into the fiery pit. They know that. How would you like to live your whole life knowing that? That God's angry with you every single day, and that finally at the last day you're going to be thrown down into hell, you're going to be separated from all the blessings of God forever and ever and ever. How would you like to live that way? Well, that's the way the children of the devil are living. Art thou come to destroy us? And, well, how did they know that? Well, they knew it because of what happened back in Genesis chapter 3. Genesis, the book of beginnings, chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. The Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. And upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall crush thy head, bruise or crush, and thou shalt bruise his heel. So this battle has been going on from the Garden of Eden. It's going on in our own day. There are people who have hatred and anger in their heart. And it's all directed finally toward Jesus Christ. And it's of God. I will put enmity between thee and the woman. And that's the way it is. So then the demoniac gets down to his own individual person. Instead of us, we, he says, I. And he says this, I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God. Well, give him credit for this. He knew more than the scribes and Pharisees and elders knew. They didn't know that Jesus Christ was the Holy One of God. They thought he was in cahoots with the devil. They thought he was a member of the enemy camp, working through the power given to him by Beelzebub, the prince of the devil. That's what they thought. And here's one of the demoniacs saying, I know who you are. I know you're the Holy One of God. And that knowledge scared him half to death. Some amazing facts about the demons in Scripture. They know Jesus. They recognize him in his deity. The people of his own hometown didn't, where he grew up in Nazareth. They didn't know him. When he started reading from the book of Isaiah, and he said, this day is this Scripture fulfilled in your ears, and you see it before your own eyes, They didn't see it. They said, well, wait a minute. Who is he to be talking like this? We know who he is. He grew up with us. He was a carpenter. We knew who his father was. They thought they did. They didn't really. They're talking about the foster father. We know his mother and his brothers and sister. We know these guys. We know him. We've known him since the time he was a little boy. Who is he to say what he's saying? They didn't know that he was a son of God. But the demons know. The demons know. And they know that Jesus is coming to destroy them. So, you know, we're living in a time in our country where the devil seems to be running unchecked. Wickedness is breaking out all around us, and it seems uncontrollable. And things are happening now that my wife and I are seeing at our age that we never saw happening when we were little. And the same is true of some of you. It's worse. And we can't believe sometimes that we're living in the United States of America anymore. So we wonder what the future holds and how this is all going to work out. And even on a grander scale, I mean, the devil is, he's running rampant throughout the whole world. So how is it all going to end up? Well, sometimes it's nice to know that. And we can say, well, we don't know what the future holds, but we know who holds the future. Well, and that part of it's certainly true. But it's also true that we do know what the future holds because he has told us. And so instead of walking around in fear, like so many in our country are doing it, we can have peace of heart. Great peace have they that love God's law, God's word. And nothing shall offend them. So where do we get our great peace? Our great peace, it comes from Holy Scripture, and one of the greatest places is in the final book of the Bible, the book of Revelation. So what's going to happen in the future? Well, let's look at it. Revelation 12, beginning at verse 7. And there was war in heaven. Well, there's war on earth too, but there was a war in heaven. And Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon, that's the devil, fought and his angels, but prevailed not. The devil got wiped out. He lost. Neither was their place found anymore in heaven. So for a long time, devil and his wicked ones were living in heaven. And now they're not. And the great dragon was cast out. Who's the great dragon? The great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. Most of the people in the world are deceived. A lot of people in our own country are deceived. Because they've not been told the truth. There's fake media. And the devil's a liar and the father of it. And a lot of people don't know the truth, which only comes from the Holy Spirit in the Word of God. So the devil was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. So here we find out what the devil was busy doing up there in heaven. He was accusing us. He was coming to the throne of the judgment of God and saying, look at those people down there. They're sinners. You should wipe them out. And he's every single day, over and over and over and over and over and over, accusing us. And he can't do it anymore because he's cast out of heaven. And we overcome him. How do we overcome him? And they overcome him by the blood of the Lamb. Not that they were any better than anybody else, but the blood of the Lamb. Just as I am without one plea, except thy blood was shed for me. And that does it. And by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. They weren't afraid of death. They were willing to die for what they believed in. Continues, therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth, that's us, and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. So from the time the devil was cast out of heaven till now, he knows that his days are numbered. His minutes are numbered. Maybe even his seconds are numbered. He knows that. So he's throwing everything he's got. And when the dragon saw that he was cast under the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. But to the woman were given two wings. This is the bride of Christ now. Were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time and a half a time from the face of the serpent. So we're being protected from the devil. And the serpent, what does he do? And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. The devil always tries to imitate God. And he remembered, you know, God sent a flood into the world one time and he wiped out the wicked people, saved his own. Now I'm going to wipe out God's people and I'm going to send a flood and wipe her out. But the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the great dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. So the way this is all going to turn out is that the devil's going to lose. And further on in the book of Revelation again, chapter 20, this is the final, now this is the final day, which could happen before we finish the sermon today. Hope it does. I saw, Revelation 20, and I saw an angel come down from heaven having the key of the bottomless pit. That's hell. And a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. The 1,000 years is a symbolical number. It's a symbol of the New Testament era. Era we're living in since the time Jesus ascended into heaven. And he cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed for a season. I remember one of our professors, Dr. Becker, was lecturing on Revelation 20, on where I was at the seminary. And he says, when it says that the devil was bound and cast down for 1,000 years, that doesn't mean he was put in a straitjacket. The picture would be that he was put on a short chain, and he could do a lot of damage within that era that God, a piece of time, a place that God allowed him to run during that short chain. But then finally, the chain's going to be taking off right at the end, and he's going to run rampant the final seconds of his existence. And I saw thrones and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. These are the people of God, by the way. We're going to be judged. We're going to judge the heathen people. We're going to judge the devil. God is going to bruise Satan under our feet shortly. And judgment was given to them, And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. They're doing that right now, and by the way, you are too, and so am I. We are kings and priests right now. We are right now. We are kings, we're rulers, and we're priests, and we have the first fruits of the Holy Spirit within us. That's why this is all possible. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Okay, so then, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. That's when you come to faith in Jesus Christ. When the Holy Spirit brings you to faith in Christ, that's your first resurrection. And on them the second death hath no power. They're not going to go to hell. But they shall be priests of God and Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And when 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. This is right by the very, very, very end. And shall go out to deceive the nations that are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. The devil is going to gather his whole wicked force, which are legion. They're legion. The most powerful army this earth has ever seen. And they went up upon the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints, surrounded the camp of the saints about, and the beloved city. And now it looks like it's all over. The devil's complete control. Children of God are helpless. We're going to be wiped out. But then it happens. But fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. Just when the situation looked absolutely hopeless and the devil was certain that he had the victory, he was defeated. Fire came down from heaven and bam, it was all over. And the devil never knew he was hit. It happened that suddenly, that fast, and it was that devastating. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne. This is kind of like when you're watching a play, and there's a lot of actors, actresses that come and go and come and go. And finally, there's a big curtain call where everybody that has appeared in the play, they all come on the stage together. Now we see all of them. Well, that's what the great white throne judgment is. And him that sat upon it, from the face of whose earth, the heaven and earth fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. This is the great resurrection of the dead. And the books were opened. Books. The books were opened. And another book was opened. So there's a lot of books. And then one book, which is the book of life. And the names of God's elect are written in that book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Surprise, surprise! They're going to say, you know, we thought we were doing this under the darkness of night and nobody knew what we were doing. And now we find out that the Almighty God was watching every single thing we did. Every word we uttered, every evil thought that we had. He knows all of it. And now we're going to pay the price. The dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. and the sea gave up the dead that were in it. And the dead and death and hell delivered up the dead that were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. This is the final curtain call. And here's how it ends up. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. How thankful you and I should be that back in eternity past, before anything was created, God chose us. He made us a part of that very small remnant. And of all the millions and millions and millions of people that have come and gone during the 6,000 plus years of Earth history, there's that very small remnant. And you and I are a part of it. What a blessing that is. What a blessing that is. That's really all that matters. So finishing up the text, Jesus rebuked the demoniac, saying, "Hold thy peace and come out of him." And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and hurt him not. Jesus will not accept the testimony of the demoniac that he's the Son of God, guilt by association. No, no, you keep shut. Keep your mouth shut. You don't say that. And he did. Jesus is obeyed immediately. It shows the great power that he had, even over the demoniacs. And the man that was inhabited by the demoniac was not hurt. Luke, the physician, mentions this. It wasn't a physical disease. It was a spiritual one. And the Holy Spirit cured him. And all the congregation were watching this. They were all amazed. And they spoke among themselves, saying, "What a word is this? For with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out." And the fame of him went out into every place of the country round about. Lesson: the power is in the word. And these terrible, most vicious demon spirits yield helplessly the instant Jesus speaks. And even though outwardly they disobeyed him so often when they heard the word preached, they will obey his final command to them. And his final command will be, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." And they'll turn and walk away.